Here's another thing to talking about the. I said something about the strikes, and this is absolutely true. During the strikes, they had a lot of strikes over here in Ambridge. I actually saw this. They loaded J&L cops up, policemen up on buses, and took them over here to Ambridge to break up strikes because one of our neighbors was a real good-looking person, and he was involved in that, and he went over there, and he got some of his teeth knocked out.
Was he one of the cops?
He was one of the J&L policemen. So I remember that. I put that. I don't know why I wrote all this stuff down.
I'm glad you did, because it reminds me.
Because I don't, you know, I don't know. And although there was a lot of colored people over there, they didn't have too many colored policemen. I think I only remember one or two. And they discriminated against the blacks over there, too. Like Hollywood and Plan 12, they were all whites. Well, they didn't allow them up there after a certain hour.
How even did they enforce that?
They sent the cops up there to get them out of there. That's the same way with in Plan 6. That's where all the big wheels lived. I delivered papers there for years in Plan 6. And they weren't allowed up there either. In fact, one of them was shot up there one time in the leg because the guy caught him up there twice. The first time he caught him, he told him, you know, get out of here. Next time, understanding, the guy got shot in the leg.
Who shot him?
One of the equipped cops. See, they like I told you, they run that with an iron hand. If they come up Sheffield Avenue on a motorcycle and the guy was staggering a little bit, boom. Throw him in his sidecar and down the police station he went. What they did to him down there, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I had a friend, like I told you, was in the building next door to the police, and he said, if you saw what went on down there, you wouldn't believe it. But I don't know. I didn't see it.
Did the newspaper support J&L?
Well, they probably owned it. They probably had a controlling interest in it anyway.
At St. Titus Church, did the different nationalities do anything that was special for their nationality?
You know, it's something that I don't remember. Down in Ambridge here, they have nationality days and everything. But over in Aliquippa, I don't think in the church it made much difference. You know, we had Syrians, we had Irish, and we had you know, we had different people, and I don't think that made that much difference. They worked, if they had some kind of bazaar or something, they worked the same as anybody else, as far as I remember.
Didn't the people live separately, though, like the different nationalities?
Well, that's what I was telling you.
Uh-huh.
Plan 11, First Street and Plan 11, they would start out, there was the Italians, and then the Polish, and then the Slovaks, and then it went all the way back, and then Plan 11 extension was mostly colored people. And that's where the Aliquippa dump was too, over in Plan 11 extension. But there was a difference. Now, for instance, Plan 7, that's another place. Plan 7 was mostly composed of foreign class people and a few colored people. That's another place. But they called you cake eaters. If you wasn't a Slovak or something, you were cake eaters, you were Irish. Well, they all lived in Plan 6 and Hollywood and Plan 12. Plan 12 and Hollywood, the difference between them was a bridge. They called that Hollywood and they called it Plan 12. But there was, they were separated, see. Now today, if you go over in Aliquippa, in my day in Aliquippa, I never saw anybody, any blacks living, you know, down street. Well, now you go over there, they're all down street because what happened, these foreign class of people, their kids became educated, see, and they don't want to live up in Plan 7 with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
uneducated people, so they moved to Hopewell Township. A lot of them moved over here to Baden. They moved to different places. The people in Ambridge did the same thing. They moved out of Ambridge and they moved here, see? Everybody was upgrading themselves. The ones like Plan 6, they moved out the country, out in the Sheffield district, you know, and built beautiful houses out in different places. Now, Plan 6 says, you know, anybody lives there.
They still have those big homes, though.
Oh, yeah. Sure, and Plan 6, they still have big homes. But...
Well, what about at work? Were the people, did they work with other people of their nationality, too?
Well, when they worked in J&L, they had to work anywhere, you know, where they put them.
Well, did J&L kind of keep people together, like keep the Italian people together?
No, no, I don't think they ever did that.
What about the black people?
Well, I think in them days it were a little harder for black people to get jobs than it is today. You know, today it's a lot easier for them. It's not easy for them. They're probably the worst off than anybody in the country, black people, but them days, I don't think that they gave the blacks the jobs that they, you know, like they did the whites. I think they hired the whites first. But in Aliquippa High School, I don't really think that it made any difference if he was black or not. Because in school where I was, and never paid any attention to that, because there was a lot of, you know, there was blacks in Aliquippa, and we knew it.
Do you remember what was Father Zahner like?
Well, Father Zahner was, Father Graney was a strict man, you know. Well, Father Zahner was a strict man, too, but he was just an easygoing guy. But he was, he was very religious. He never went out of the house unless he had the collar on and so forth. And he had an assistant one time, Father McGraw. I don't know if you remember him.
I heard his name.
He was from Pittsburgh. Well, anyway, Father McGraw used to kick football with the kids out in the yard and get all dirty. And he came to picnics, and Father Zahner would sit there with the collar on, and this one would come here with the hair sticking out, and, you know, raising all kind of heck at the picnic and drinking beer and everything else. But Father Zahner never did that. He was a real quiet man. I didn't know, you know, really too much about him. But I know he was very quiet person. He was even quiet in the confessional, where some of these other ones would holler loud enough, you can not him. He, half the time he was sleeping in there, to tell you the truth. You know, he'd take the box and give you $5 and $5. I remember that.
What, did you have to kick the box to wake him up?
Yeah. We did that lots of times.
Was he able to talk to the different nationalities?
Well, Father Zahner talked to about five or six nationalities. He would talk to Slovaks, and I think that's why he was down in West Aliquippa to begin with, because down in West Aliquippa they had mostly ethnic people, you know, different languages. Then when he came to Aliquippa, I think they were surprised that he could talk. He was like the Pope, you know. Mm-hmm. Pope can talk, well, he couldn't talk all that, but he could talk a lot of languages and understand a lot of languages. And when they had missions over there, well, he could talk to them. And when people came there, and he had confessions in different languages, too. If people wanted a confession and they couldn't talk English, well, he could do that. He was a smart man.
Questions, but I want to make sure that I ask you about all the things that are on your papers. Are there other things there that you have?
Oh, you know, and here's another thing I had written down, and this is a fact from kids in school. A lot of these men that came over from Europe, and they got jobs in J&L, these people had boarders, you know, and they would live with these families. That's what they did. They moved in with them, and there's some people had four or five boarders living with them. I got that from guys in the mill, you know, said how their mothers used to have to work like heck because they had all them boarders.
Yeah.
And that's how they kept going during the bad times.
When you were in school, do you remember how big, at St. Titus, do you remember how big your classes were?
I know we had good size class, 30, 30, 35, 40, maybe. I'm sure we had good, easy 40, 35, 40 in the class. We had a lot of people went to Catholic school them days in Aliquippa. And then they had, I remember they gave free milk and stuff to kids that needed it. I remember that too. But that's a long time ago.
Yeah,
I said, I don't know, this sister's going to come here and get nothing out of me. Because I don't remember. I just wrote a bunch of stuff down here.
Are there other things that we didn't talk about that you wrote?
No. I did say that Plan 11 was the lowest income in town, and that Plan 6 was the highest income people. I did say that. And I know there's some people on our block and below us, they used to get together, some of the men, and they used to play Penny Andy because they didn't have anything else to do.
Mm-hmm.
Them days there wasn't any television either. Had radio. This name is an Andy.
Mm-hmm. One guy just died. He played some.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all I have. I don't know, Miss, you want to ask some questions.
Those are things that I really wanted to know. So thank you very much.
Yes.
I'll turn this off.